You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Welcome. It is the best time of the year for Eyes on the Prize and the podcast in general. We have the top 25, under 25, about to start, or it has already started, because your votes are supposed to be in by next Saturday. It's me, Patrick Bexell, here, and I'm joined by the non-fugitive, the permanent resident, the baker of Ystad, Anton Rosegård. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you for the warm welcome. Yeah, it feels good to be a permanent resident now.
Everyone should know that Ystad is a fantastic place as well. If you haven't read the Wallander books or watched this TV series, please do. I know not all of the TV series is around Ystad, though. They've sampled the whole of Skåne, but it's an amazing area. Anton lives perfectly. They have some good coffee shops. Anton has told me they have one if the boss makes the coffee. Otherwise, yeah, it's not good at all. But that's not why we're here to talk about Skåne or coffee, unfortunately, because that would be a whole other podcast, wouldn't it, Anton?
Yes, it would. We could probably talk about that for quite some time as well. But as of now, we have 54 players to rank during this week. And I think it's going to be a headache for many of us who are, you know, both eligible.
The incredible thing is I've just started mine. I know you turned your in. We're not going to mention any names where they're ranked or anything. Just skimming through the list and sorting out the players, I have players that I like somewhere around 25 to 30.
Yeah.
That I think will be NHLers.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's easy maybe to put the last one in and the top one in, but everything in between is just, it's just a mess, because the longer you think about it, the more you tinker with it. It's a little bit like that TV show, The League. You shouldn't move around your players on Sunday day before the NFL game starts, because if you tinker at that time, you're going to switch players around and you're not going to get the maximum out of it. A little bit like here. But you're going to be wrong in regards to the community vote, which is usually around 400 sample votes. And it's always fun. It's a great discussion. It has we've had some few good discussions in it. Everyone that was on the site, the Brett Leonard discussion, it was a mess. But otherwise, I think it's been very well, even with players that has been very difficult to rank for a lot of different reasons, be it that they play in a league that is not very common, be it that they play in a few minutes in a very high league, et cetera, et cetera. It's a good thing. And there is a lot of people that listens to this and are not part of the Eyes on the Prize that has so much good information in the comments after or when we reveal the list. So make sure to, if you're one of those people that listen to the pod and has good information or want to try this, go in, rank the players, you have to create an account first, but also make sure to leave the comments in there with your analysis, because that's how a few of us started, leaving comments and ending up writing for Eyes on the Prize. It's a great way to start. It's a great way to interact. And it's a great way to actually watch Montreal games down the line.
Yeah, for sure. And let's hope for a new record in community votes this year, because it's so much fun. And there are so many players to, even if you feel like, you know, you're not quite sure about some of the names or where you're supposed to rank them, it's okay. We're all, you know, nobody can know everything about 54 players. It's impossible. If you're not Hadi Kalakesh or David Saint-Louis, who watches prospect all year long, for the rest of us, it's just a fun exercise. And, you know, no one is the wiser. No one is correct all the time. Like last year, I had Frederick Dichov, the gnome, as you call him, at 12th position, because I really thought that he would hit it off in Frölunda and that he would get brought over to play in Laval. It obviously didn't work out. Montreal released him, didn't pick up his rights, basically. So I was wrong there. I also had Arber Žekaj at, I think it was 36th. place last year. Obviously, I didn't think that he was gonna go in and play NHL minutes all year long. That was my mistake as well. I thought I saw in Arbejet guy, I saw a wonderful story, someone who would be a throw-in for the AHL team and would rely heavily on just being a gritty guy. He showed that he is capable of much more than that. You just look 2 years back, for example, we had Michael Pezzetta ended up at 36th position out of 41 ranking eligible players. I had Michael Pezzetta 41st overall because it was 42 players ranked. Jesperi Kotkaniemi left the franchise before the ranking was actually presented. He was ranked third overall, but that position was scratched. So it was 41 players in the end. So I only had Arvid Henriksson below Michael Pezzetta. Michael Pezzetta then went on going from an AHL fourth liner to being an NHL mainstay for most of that season. And yeah, it just goes to show that everyone can be wrong, you know, completely wrong, and it doesn't matter. It's a fun thing to do, and I love making these lists every year.
Of course, we've all been wrong. I think I had Henriksson in the top 25 for 1 year, and then the last couple of years I've had him at the bottom every time. But he had a couple of minutes in of SHL, and it pointed to the fact that he would be able to maybe make that team. And for the next season, and I saw the upside. I didn't want to see the downside. And you learn from your mistakes. That's the important bit as well. There are other stories that we have. Obviously, the community was very high on Lernout, and the writers wasn't. And for once, the writers were probably right. But more often than not, the community vote is a very good indication of where players end up. And the best thing for you would to be is so Justin doesn't have too much work to do after the vote has been switched off. It is to make your own list in Excel or Google Docs or something, and be sure to save it.
Yeah.
So you know how you ranked it. You will be wrong. That's just fun. That's part of the process, as Anton says. You learn something, you suddenly realize that this person that is commenting on the article, that person knows a lot about the queue, as an example. And which means that the next time you read a comment about the queue, you're looking to that comment in a much better way, and you understand it, and you weigh it more, as more important. So all that makes for a much better analysis and experience at Eyes on the Prize. As you mentioned, though, 54 players, and one of them isn't signed yet, and that's Jesse Ilonen. He will Montreal will most likely keep his rights anyway, so we're counting him into the list.
Yeah,
there are players that are just drafted. There are players that is in their last season of eligibility. There are players that has been.
Yeah, we have to add to that. When you say that players are in their last year of eligibility, the only two players who are 24 at present and won't be eligible for the next list are Raphaël Harvey-Pinard and the newly acquired Elias Andersson. Those are the only two players who have turned 24 at this point.
Don't do this to me, because that means we're going to have seven more players to add next year.
It's possible, yes. Obviously, there are players who will not be signed, their rights will expire. There are players who are on 1 year deals and they will not be re-signed. You can see players like Nicolas Baudin, for example, who has done well with Laval, but we don't know how long he's going to stick around. He's a former first round pick, but he's 23, turning 24 this year, but he would be eligible for next year. Nick Suzuki, it will be his last year next year. He's born in August 99, so he will just make the cut for one more list. Jesse Ilonen, who you were talking about, he's also 23, so next year will be his last, but it's an incredibly young list still. We see here one player, for example, who I was thinking about was Jan Mišák, who is still only, he recently turned 21, and it feels like he's been around for so long. He turned 21 less than a month ago. Yes, Oliver Kapanen, yeah, for sure. How old is he? Yeah, he's 20. He turned 20 in, he's not even 20 yet.
And he's been around for two or 3 years.
Like, yes. Obviously, like, but it just feels like he's been along for longer. But yeah, he turns 20 in just a few weeks. So yeah, it's still, you know, a lot of these players will be mainstays. They will continue to move up. It will be fun to see, you know, in 2 years' time, for example, when Nick Suzuki isn't eligible anymore. Obviously he will be somewhere near the top. He's been the reigning champion for a couple of years now. It will be interesting to see who follows him, who will develop into a future number one, top 25, following players like Alex Galchenyuk was number one at one point. Max Domi was number one at one point. Jonathan Drouin, I think PK Subban
was number one. Was Subban really? Because I think Price was at that time. And Pacioretty too. So, yeah. You know, it's but yeah. The one that is not even the ones that we rank community and writers together as number one might turn out to the best prospect in the pool. It's not written in stone, this
no.
list. It's something that we do for fun, and it's supposed to be fun. So don't worry. I want to stress this. I was terrified to do it the first year because my name would obviously be on the ballot and be showcased. And you will always be wrong. And sometimes you defend yourself, and other times you just let it be. And sometimes you go, yeah, I was wrong because I knew too little about this person. And that is what everyone does. And, you know, half of us use for some of these guys, you use Elite Prospects or any other site or any of the draft books that came out that year that were drafted to see what kind of information you can gather. But let's also be honest, we don't spend 12 hours on this list.
We don't? So, I do.
Well, you do.
No, I spend
about five maybe.
Yeah.
And a couple of beers. So yeah. The list will always be a little bit different at the end than I presumed.
Yeah, the rule is one beer per player, right? So it's going to be 54 beers for you this year.
And then I will have to drag it out over the next week. But anyway, this is what I have to look forward to. I'm going to read out what Justin has wanted us to do. Many people preferred the would you trade player A for player B method of weighing the options in the past. One issue with this particular method was that you may end up placing more importance on current NHL players than top-end prospects. The goal of this project is to rank players according to their projected impact at NHL level. This does not necessarily mean with the Montreal Canadiens, and not necessarily for the upcoming season. Assume every player has an open shot at claiming the place in the lineup that their skill suggests. On the flip side, a player already producing a third-line role in the NHL is likely more valuable than a long-term prospect who has a small chance of becoming a top six player. Your decision in those situations will depend on how confident you are that that prospect will reach the projected ceiling. With that in mind, instead of asking player which player you would rather trade, ask which player you'd rather lose.
Yeah.
And this is a very good thing to do. You think about which player would you lose and to what price? And realistic price. I mean, of course, I would think that, you know, I would gladly take or lose Gaudin for a first overall pick. And that's not going to happen.
Well, yeah.
So exactly. Realistically, which brings in the next.
So what you mean is you're going to have Juraj Slepkovský above Alexander Gordon, right?
Yeah.
We're sure about that.
Yeah. On the other hand, it's also important to think that there are prospects that are still prospect that might have a very good development path for the NHL, be it this year, be it next year, be it in 3 years' time. And that is something you have to be confident in when you're voting. Of course,
that's where we can differ in opinion, obviously, because if we look at a player like, if we take an example, Arber Žekaj, for example, he's currently, you know, an NHL player, albeit on one of the worst rosters in the league, ended up fifth last season. But he is an NHL player. If we look at a prospect like Adam Engström, for example, there's probably a chance that he ends up, some people will think that he will end up a better player than Arber Žekaj. So they would rather trade Žekaj, or like not trade, you would rather lose Žekaj because you see a bigger potential in Adam Engström. There are others who see a bigger potential in Arbor Sekai, who believe that he can be a top four defenseman in the NHL, and maybe see the chances of Adam Engström becoming a top four defenseman in the NHL rather slim. Okay, then you put Sekai above Engström, and that's basically the exercise.
And there's also that guy or those guys that would think that Adam Engström might be on a higher place in the lineup, but for another team.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to consider that a little bit as well.
Yeah.
Will they reach their peak? Or even, you know, Sekai for being included in a package where you get a better draft pick next year, and then he ends up being a top four player in, you know, which always happens for Montreal, in Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, exactly. Well, just to clarify that as well, we were both correct before. Carey Price was the inaugural number one when we started this exercise back in 2010. He was also the number one in 2011, and then PK Subban was the number one for 2 years. Alex Galchenyuk was number one for 4 years after that. Then Drouin 1 year, Domi 1 year, and then Suzuki twice. So there we have the full list of number ones.
That's an impressive list in a way, considering what has yeah, but I mean, like, in one way we were right, with exception for two players, right?
Yeah. It's just impressive to think that at one point Alex Galchenyuk was, you know, the prime, you know, prime possession below the age of 25 in the whole organization, because, like, obviously a third overall pick and everything. No, it's just I mean, things are looking better from a pure prospect cupboard kind of, you know, kind of perspective now. Having 54 players under the age of 25 obviously looks better in regards to the future than it was, you know, just 5-6 years ago.
Exactly. Thinking about this, there is obviously one thing that we do individual write-ups, we do group write-outs for those outside the top 25. We write who's left the list. We write out a lot of different things. Sometimes we make a joke about Sparge Ribbinson, but he has actually graduated now after an
he
enormous...
He is not. He's aging backwards.
Well, according to some, he hasn't graduated, but from the most of us, he has. On the other hand, though, we will continue to do this list. Last year, we did single episodes for the top 10.
Mm.
It was a success, at least numbers-wise. We had guests. We, Anton and I, that more or less drives the top 25, under 25 team here on the podcast, would really like you to leave feedback in the article or on Twitter or on Facebook, where you can contact Eyes on the Prize in that regard, because I think that's actually somewhere they do look. And tell us what you want out of this podcast series for the top 25 under 25. I'm quite sure that we won't be able to do the full 25 list as individual podcasts, though. That would take a lot of time, and I'm not sure either of us can do it because my vacation has ended at that point, and you probably started a new job then, Anton.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
We'll see. But we really appreciate your feedback. This is a community exercise. We try to live up to what the community wants from this exercise. It is obviously both the community's and the writer's best time of the year, unless we win the Stanley Cup. I need to clarify that. But on the other hand, so we also would like you to participate not only in the voting, but participate in helping Anton and I with some insightful comments about what you expect from the podcast. We would really appreciate it.
Yeah, also, just remember that, you know, we read the comments on the article. So if you have any questions for us that you want us to bring up on the podcast, just ask away. You know, if you have anything that you want us to take up with future guests or whatever, it's just, you know, it's great fun for us. The more engagement we get from you guys, we do this podcast for, the better, obviously.
And we're going to close it off here. It's a short podcast. We really, really appreciate you listening. It's not maybe the podcast that we normally do. It is an introduction. We got a few weeks to plan it all, and we would need a little bit of help, which guest would you want on the podcast is probably the main thing that we're looking for, because sometimes we get stuck. As long as we've had the podcast, there's always one guest that's backed out for the top 25, under 25. Thank you guys for listening. Please enjoy the rest of the day. And please, if you just listen to the podcast, sign up to Eyes on the Prize and do this exercise, because it is a fun one.
Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree. Loki season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki season 2. Now streaming only on Disney+.